From the land-grant university in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's April the 30th, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, no farm bill, but maybe a three-year extension. And the price of nitrogen is on the way up thanks to a Chinese tariff. I'll have more on these and many other news stories shortly. And then we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City about the agricultural weather. That'll happen as we finish up this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL AM 580 from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Taking a look at the numbers as they settled in Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon, futures in the wheat pit like this: May contract $7.87 and a quarter, down 6 3/4 cents today. July futures at 801, 7 1/2 lower, and December at 834 1/2, down 6 3/4 as well. May futures in the corn pit $6.25, 9 cents higher for the day. July futures 6.12 1/4, up 7 3/4. And September at 6.21 3/4, up 7 cents. December contract in the corn pit, new crop, up 6 1/4 at $6.28 1/4. May soybean futures, $13.03, up 22 1/4. July futures, $13.14, up 20 1/2. And the August contract at 13.03, up 21 1/2. November soybeans at $12.25 1/2, 25 cents higher. May bean meal up $9.40 at $3.30.60. And the May bean oil at $57.67, up 58 for the day. April live cattle futures, $91.65, the loss of 52 1/2 cents in the nearby contract. June futures, though, a gain of 70 cents at $93.47 1/2 for the live cattle. May feeders at $105.97 1/2, 62 1/2 cents higher. August at $108.52 1/2, up 30 for the day. May lean hog futures, $73.75 unchanged. And the June futures finished at $73.47 1/2 on a Wednesday afternoon, 92 1/2 cents higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Outside markets for the day: nearby June crude oil futures trading at $113.55 a barrel, down $2.08. July futures at $112.65, 2 cents lower. May ethanol futures at $2.50 and 4 cents, up 1 3/10 for the day. And the June futures at $2.44, up 0.9 cents. Natural gas at $10.86 and 2 cents, up 2 cents. And the July at $10.99 and 7 cents, up 1 1/7 cents for the day. May gold futures at $862.80, down $11.40. The June futures at $865.10, down $11.70. The U.S. dollar now stands at 72.59, and that's down 2.6 for the day. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 12,927 is just about 96 points higher on the afternoon. Here's what the forecast looks like across the two-state region. According to our own Mike Sola, tonight in northern Illinois, it'll be mostly cloudy. There'll be a chance of a few showers overnight. Elsewhere, partly cloudy. Lows will range from 45 in northeastern Indiana to 58 in southern Illinois. Tomorrow in northern and western Illinois, mostly cloudy, some scattered showers, a few thunderstorms. Elsewhere, partly to mostly sunny. Highs will range tomorrow from 65 in northwestern Illinois to near 80 in southern Indiana. Rain will end in most areas by Saturday afternoon. The heaviest precip will shift from northern sections on Thursday to the east by early Saturday, as a cold front triggers showers and the thunderstorms. Closer to the bottom of the hour, Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City will join us to take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast and how the models have changed over the noon hour. You're listening to the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Learned Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Learned Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Learned Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us on this Wednesday afternoon to take a look at the futures market is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd, on this beautiful sunny afternoon.
I'll bet the planters are rolling in your area, are they?
They're very busy north of 36 and south of 36. It's spottier, but hey, it's the name of the game to go, and that's what they're doing.
Tell me about the day's trade. Do you want to start with the Fed's cut rate, or do you want to start somewhere else?
Well, that's as good a place as there any. The Fed cut a quarter of a point off of their discount rate. The stock market surged, and now it's up only 29 points. Gold and the silver are now higher, and crude oil's down to 106. The marketplace was rather mixed here this morning. It was rather quiet, and the general feeling was, of course, we did see crude oil lower, and the general pre-calls were people were wanting to talk the market down because there is this historic precedent when we do see crude oil down, gold and silver down, dollar stronger, that it's automatically okay to sell corn. But the weather forecast was pretty ornery, and we did see soybeans trade off. And then there was this rumor during the midday that Alberto Fernandez might be leaving the finance office in the cabinet of the President Kirchner. And the political solution with the Argentine farmers possibly have been put on the back burner. Then there was a Reuters article, and then there was a Commodity News Service article, and both indicated that Alberto was not at the meeting. It did raise the level of concern, and the reason it's raising the level of concern is the USDA is saying 160 million carryover on soybeans. The present indications of demand would say it's closer to 100 million carryover just on exports. And if there would be any continuation or a strike in Argentina, the demand obviously shifts to the U.S. It created quite a rally. Not only is it a strike against soybeans, it's a strike against corn and wheat, and the markets did put in quite a violent trade today.
Yeah, they were up. Will they follow through in the overnight and then tomorrow as well?
Good question. I think tomorrow morning, once again, is the weather forecast, but our weatherman that we have the most confidence in, you know, basically has three rain events in the next 10 days, 12 mm-hmm. days, and it's a pretty wet forecast. And also, we do know there are planters going here in central Illinois, but the other factor that we're picking up, if, for example, I called friendly commodity broker with ADMIS in North Dakota, and he says it's too wet, too cold, and probably means more beans and a little less wheat up there. And I called a good customer in far southern Illinois, and he said basically the high fertilizer prices mean more soybeans. So, you know, people are still focusing in on the corn acreage debate. A lot of people wanted to sell the market, and when we tell them that this market is so strong based on this weather situation, they basically went to the sidelines. But there is this philosophy: when the corn planter goes and you're on your farm, you have a tendency to be a little bearish.
Yeah, as we look back to Commodity Week, you were in between two that were thinking the market would be a bit lower over time. Can you give some good reasons why you still think the market ought to go higher?
Well, a couple of reasons. You know, the president, of course, defends ethanol. Our presidential candidate from Illinois, Obama, is defending ethanol. And, you know, it seems like it's a logical event. congressman from Colin Peterson from Minnesota said corn, soybean, wheat prices have been underpriced for too long a period of time. And so there is this feeling that we do have a, you know, the consumers still are getting a good bargain on corn, soybeans, and wheat. The other factor that I want to share with you is that this weather forecast is pretty ornery. Our acreage mix is probably 4 to 6 million acres too small. Unless we do have a bigger corn acreage than 86 million and we do have a timely plant, it's awfully hard to get too bearish corn. And then you get the think tank people saying maybe $6.50, maybe $7, maybe $7 plus. And what I'm afraid of is that, yes, corn could pull beans higher and also pull wheat higher if you do get into a runaway market, because corn is such a powerful commodity. It's a tremendous stabilizing market in the commodity mix.
Are you concerned that it'll move higher? I know you've expressed concerns in the past that would be the case, that it would be really hard on the credit side and infrastructure of the grain handling industry if it moved sharply higher again into that $6.50, $7 range.
Well, we have to take each step at a time. And we did have some deliveries in the corn, soybeans, and wheat this morning. But basically, you know, China is out of the corn export market. They're moving some corn from their northern part of their country into the southern part of the country. We do kind of snicker when we hear people say that the crude oil is all of a sudden going to mysteriously go down, particularly when we hear the Rockefeller family basically pushing the Exxon Mobil button, saying, hey, let's get more aggressive in finding energy or alternate energy investments. And, when we hear experts like T-Bone Pickens says there's just no easy, we're using too much oil in the world. So, energy, higher energy prices are a big factor. We're seeing tremendous earnings being announced on Wall Street. So there is a healthy economy, and that's the reason why old Paul isn't very bearish, at least the corn in the cornfields of Illinois this year.
All right, Paul, thanks much.
Have a good day.
You too. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Joins us on Wednesdays on the Closing Market Report. If you'd like to hear what he has to say again, you can do that. It's easy, in fact. Just visit our website and play an MP3 file from there, or sign up for the podcast. That's even better. You can have it downloaded directly to your computer. It's all at willag.org. That's willag.org. In just a few minutes, actually just a few seconds, the agricultural news for the day.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In today's agricultural news, despite optimism late Friday in Congress that a deal had been reached on the farm bill, Agriculture Secretary Ed Schaefer said Tuesday he would be surprised if the president signed the farm bill. The comments were made following a speech on the farm bill in Doha negotiations. Schaefer says the administration remains concerned about the WTO, or World Trade Organization, implications of the new farm policy, and expressed concern that a new deal in Congress had cut direct payments, which are WTO compliant, while increasing countercyclical payments, which WTO views as trade distorting. Schaefer also indicated the administration would support a 3-year extension, allowing for final farm bill negotiations in the year 2010. Well, what goes down will surely go up, such is the case for ammonium fertilizer prices. Michelle Rook, a member of the National Association of Farm Broadcasting, reports.
Prices for ammonia fertilizer had decreased slightly, but will be on the rise, according to the Fertilizer Institute's Kathy Mathers. She says a proposed increase in China's export tax on urea and an increase in the tax for DAP, which went into effect April 20th, are the reasons.
China has gone in a few short years from being the world's largest importer of nitrogen and phosphate products to now being the world's largest exporter. And what has happened over the last week or so is the Chinese government has said we're going to put export tariffs on all fertilizers in order to keep those products in the country for our farmers' use. And so China, who is the largest, as I said, the largest exporter of phosphate and nitrogen products in the world market, has now put 100 to 135% export tariff on those products to ensure that they stay in China. That is likely to further tighten the fertilizer market.
Okay, and you said that's going to stay till September of 08.
That's correct. That's through September of 08. And this is the Chinese finance ministry that is acting to do this.
So on the road in Washington, D.C., I'm Michelle Rook.
It seems ethanol has a target on its back. The rising cost of food has gained a lot of media attention, with many laying the blame at ethanol's feet, despite numerous reports and studies showing that other factors, such as the high price of oil, are the real culprits. The increased coverage of the issue has brought politicians into the fray. Texas Governor Rick Perry, of course, requested a waiver of the renewable fuel standard. And now, Senator Kay Bailey Hutchinson, a Republican of Texas, says she will submit a bill that would freeze the national biofuels mandate. And finally today, the long-awaited report of the Pew Commission on Industrial Farm Animal Production has been unveiled. The commission's announcement was jarring. Pew Commission says industrial-scale farm animal production poses unacceptable risk to public health and the environment. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Up next, Fabian Fernandez, soil fertility specialist, joins us to talk about anhydrous ammonia and side dressing. The growing season is off to a very slow start around the nation, and that means some corn farmers will be scrambling to apply nitrogen, usually in the form of anhydrous ammonia. Most of the time, this is done prior to planting. It is too late to do that this year, says the soil fertility specialist at the University of Illinois, Fabian Fernandez, but he says it'll be okay. Just plan on side dressing in.
The best time, of course, of application, you can do it any time, really. But it's best to do it around the V4, V5 stage, so the 4 or 5 leaf stage. At that point, you reduce the amount of damage that you could cause to the roots. And in terms of application rates, one of the benefits of side dress, of course, is that if you see that there is a reduction in yield potential, you can cut some of those nitrogen rates.
As the planting dates slip later into the month of May, the yield potential for the corn crop goes down. Consequently, so should the amount of nitrogen applied. Toolbars might be hard to come by to get the anhydrous ammonia over the acres, and farmers might find themselves faced with using a bar that places the N in every other row. Fernandez says that's just fine, too.
Yes, that's as effective. The data has shown that it's as effective as doing it in every row. One of the benefits, actually, of doing it every other row is, of course, that you have less power requirement on the tractor. That also means normally smaller wheels. You're creating less compaction near the row. It makes it easier to maneuver around the plants. And the data shows that in terms of yield, there is no difference in yields, given that you're applying the same rate that you would be applying on every row, of course.
Other options corn farmers might use rather than the preferred side dressing of anhydrous ammonia include, in order, UAN incorporated just under the surface, broadcasting ammonium sulfate or ammonium nitrate, urea, a dribbled application of UAN, and then, finally, if necessary, a broadcast application of UAN. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. 866-837-9027.
Joining us now for a look at the cash grain market is Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Kay.
Good afternoon to you, Todd.
Well, work in the fields there this afternoon or not?
Yeah, there's a few guys out there. It's just kind of all over the map, Todd. If you got good sandy ground, some of these guys are almost done. Some have a lot done, and yet there's some clay that hadn't even been touched. So if you look at the total picture, I'd say maybe we're maybe 20%, maybe 25% at the most planted, and still got a long way to go.
The basis is going to follow the market up today?
I think it will. Since you talked with me last week, we've gained about 7 or 8, 9 cents in train values. As the farmers go to the field, the corn's going to dry up, and demand's still good. So, yeah, basis levels are getting better. Still not nearly comparable with the processor bids, same way with beans, but at least they are getting a little better, but there's not a lot of interest in selling out there anyway, so it's kind of a moot point right now.
You think the market has upside potential still?
There's, you know, it's hard to say because, you know, most of the news out there is really kind of bearish to the markets because they're all concerned about these global food prices and the impact of ethanol, and they're, you know, trying to persuade the EPA to, you know, change the mandate. So I don't know. There are some analysts who think that we've seen the top of this market, and no doubt when we saw contract highs made night before last, it's been struggling ever since then, Todd.
Yeah, there's a good point that it's not USDA, but EPA that has the handle on the mandates for ethanol, and whether they get rolled back, I suppose that sort of changes the whole landscape, doesn't it?
It certainly does.
And tell me about what your producers are asking you if they're calling in today.
I've got some firm offers in front of me for $6 corn. Other than that, there's not a lot of phone calls because they're all busy in the field right now, Todd. But that's about where we stand. They want $14 for beans. Of course, we've, you know, fallen far from that, and $6 on corn. And other than that, things are pretty quiet out in the country.
Well, $6 for corn, I suppose they might be coming around to that at some point. But $14 for beans, that's a pretty good shot off, don't you think?
Well, that they gave me those offers after it backed off the $14 mark, and they just haven't revised them. So I think they're just hopeful at this time that could happen. And you got to remember, I don't think there's a lot of beans out in the country. So you're going to see a big inverse probably somewhere down the road. Beans are going to get pretty darn scarce.
This would be a bid for old crop then rather than new crop. So
that's old crop, yeah.
As we get into the June, July and time frame and things start to tighten up pretty sharply, that might just come back.
It just could, very easily.
And what are your bids for the day?
Our cash corn today is 584. Beans are 1272. New crop wheat is 591.
Anything else to add before I let you go?
I think we've about covered all the bases.
All right. Thanks much, Kate.
Thank you, Todd.
Kay Whitlock is with Terre Haute Grain out of Terre Haute, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Wednesday afternoon. If you'd like to hear what Kay has to say again, you can do that. It's right there on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. Once you're there, make sure you hit subscribe, which is on the right-hand side of the page, and you'll be subscribed to our weekend newsletter. It's a good one. Dave Dickey usually pins that letter, and he does a great job of developing all kinds of marketing information from the week and putting it into a package that's easily consumed by you. Right there at willag.org. Hit subscribe. We'll deliver it to your email each and every weekend. In just 2 minutes, we'll talk with Drew Lerner. He's the senior agricultural meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the University of Illinois.
It's National Oatmeal Cookie Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1865, Robert Fitzroy died, a British naval officer and meteorologist. Fitzroy devised a storm warning system that was the prototype of the daily weather forecast. He also invented a barometer and published the weather book. In 1872, Louis Pasteur lectured at the French Academy of Science in support of his germ theory of disease, in which he held that many diseases were caused by tiny organisms. In 1904, the Louisiana Purchase Exposition opened in St. Louis. It was at the fair that the ice cream cone was reported to be invented. The hot dog and iced tea were also popularized at the fair. In 1952, Mr. Potato Head is introduced to the world. The original Mr. Potato contained 70 body parts, but parents had to supply children with real potatoes for the body. Mr. Potato Head was the first toy to be advertised on television, and the advertising blitz netted Hasbro more than $100 million in the first year of production. Mrs. Potato Head came a year later in 1953. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Listening to the Closing Market Report, I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner. He's the senior agricultural meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
I hear the models are changing. What do they say?
Oh, my goodness. What a mess here today. storm system that was slated for Monday through Wednesday of next week was delayed by a couple of days. It was allowed to move into the western United States and fall into the southwestern desert region and hangs out there for a day or so and then slowly comes out of that area, moves into the southern portions of the U.S. plains, bringing some needed rain to parts of Texas, Oklahoma, even southwest Kansas, where some half to 1.5 inch rains were suggested. All this occurs during the early part of next week. And then finally, the storm system comes out into the Corn Belt, and we see rain occur from Tuesday night into about the following Sunday across most of the Midwest. There's actually three systems that end up merging together, according to the PIR model data, that creates a near daily occurrence of showers and thunderstorms in at least a portion of the U.S. Corn Belt starting Tuesday night and going all the way through the following Sunday. That's May 11th. And there's actually a frontal system that even comes through a little bit later than that, and we keep showers going into the 13th in a portion of the region. This is ridiculous. It's an absurd change in the models to a large degree. The bottom line theme here is it's way too wet. It's also quite cold in the second week of the two-week forecast. And if this were to verify, we would have a rather serious problem on our hands with getting field work done across the Midwest. So we'll have to hope for the best and figure that the model is going to catch itself here later this evening and correct itself so that we see something a little bit more logical take place.
If it's correct, is it moving back and delaying the rainfall? Is that what you told me that was scheduled to come later this week until Tuesday of next week? Is that right?
Right. Instead of beginning in the parts of the Western Corn Belt on Sunday night and Monday, it would wait until Tuesday night into Wednesday.
And so that, at a minimum, that would be good for those who can get into the field, and there probably are some at this point. Is there any rainfall between now and then that might halt field activity in the Midwest, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa?
Yes, and that's what the problem is we still have this storm system coming up here for Thursday, tomorrow, into Saturday for the Western Corn Belt, and then from Friday into Sunday for the Eastern Belt. And the rains are not necessarily going to be heavy, but we are going to see widespread distribution rain. I don't think there's going to be anybody that's missed by the storm system except maybe a few locations in Kansas or southeastern Nebraska. And the amounts of rain would run, maybe in general, 0.3 to 1 inch with some 1.5 inch amounts. Not enough to really cause a serious problem with mud, but we would obviously not have a good window of opportunity to get back and work in some of these fields again before the next onslaught of rain arrives.
Well, I'm sorry to hear you were the bearer of bad news today. Maybe the models will change and get themselves straightened out and we'll get something a little better before we talk to you again next week.
Well, I think they will, and I fully don't expect this to verify, so we'll see what happens overnight tonight.
Okay, thanks much, Drew.
Have a good day.
Drew Lerner is the senior agricultural meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. He joins us here each and every Wednesday on the Closing Market Report. Please visit our website. The address, of course, is WILLAG.org. Have a good afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.